Many supplements on the market are hard to absorb or packed with fillers, but that's not the case with Quiksilver Scientific. Quiksilver Scientific is a U.S.-based company that manufactures advanced liposomal supplements, making nutrients easier for your body to absorb and put to work quickly. Made in Colorado in an NSF GMP-certified facility and rigorously tested, this is science-first supplementation. After adding ultravitamin into my routine, recovery feels faster and I don't hit that midday crash anymore. Trusted worldwide for supplements that truly make a difference in performance, resilience, and well-being. Quiksilver Scientific makes advanced liposomal supplements so you can actually feel the difference. Energy, focus, calm, recovery. Get 10% off plus free shipping at tryqs.com/podcast. That's tryqs.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Most people don't know how many financial accounts they have or their net worth. And when you're not paying attention, you're leaving money on the table. The solution is Monarch, an all-in-one personal finance tool that brings your entire financial life together in one clean interface on your laptop or phone. In just minutes, link all your accounts for a complete picture of your financial health. You'll never need a spreadsheet again. Get 50% off your first year, that's just $50 total, at monarch.com with code AUDIO. That's monarch.com, promo code AUDIO.
Welcome to Revive Her, a transformative space where we break down walls to unearth the incredible power that lies within every woman. We're your hosts, Haley and Noel.
Dive into candid conversations about entrepreneurship, faith, and relationships, and the journeys that define us. Are you ready? Sometimes we go through seasons of confusion and seasons of brokenness, and this can make us feel far from God, and it can make it feel hard to seek Him. In this episode, we are going to talk about how to get out of a dry season in your faith.
So I don't know about you guys, but gosh, sometimes it's weird to admit as a Christian, especially one that's been saved since she was like six. Yeah. I don't have that story of like, oh, I had this huge come to Jesus moment. Like I was six and said it at the altar of my little country church. So I've been a Christian my whole life. And sometimes it's hard to admit that you have moments in your faith where you're just like, I don't want to pray. I don't want to read. I don't feel anything. Like I'm so far from God. Why am I even here? Da da da. You know what I mean? Like you just get in that dry bones season and it's hard to get out of. And I feel like Christians don't talk about it enough because like there's shame around it. Like you're embarrassed about it. And then like people just don't really want to admit it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I feel like sometimes too, we're in spiritual warfare and we don't even realize
it.
We're like, what is happening in my home? What is happening in my marriage? What is happening in my business? And it's like the enemy will always attack those things in your life. It's like, if he can't get your faith, he will come after your business or your finances or your marriage, like any crack or crevice that he can sneak into. And I feel like me personally, I can say I have been in a really dry season since Drew and I, pretty much since we moved to this new area, like 3-ish years ago. It has just been such a dry season in my faith. And it's been so hard because it's like when you do open up and you do talk about it, people are like, wait, what?
Yeah.
Like, what is happening? Like, are you falling away? Like, are you like backsliding? And I do want people to realize that you're going to go through seasons where you're not feeling on fire, where you're not feeling so super connected and all of that. Like our flesh takes over. But I do think it's important that we remember some things that we can do in order to get back to that.
And we want you to understand too, like when you feel super far from God or you're in this dry season, like there's a lack of motivation there to seek Him. Like you just don't feel like doing anything. Like you don't have that emotional connection. You don't have that drive. And then it's like even harder to do the things. And then you're like, well, what do I even do? Like I am trying to pray and I feel nothing. And I am going back to church regularly and like, it's not really doing anything for me. And it's, so then you start questioning the everything at that point. Gosh, I've been there more times than I can count. And I do want to say this for me, but I feel like this is so true for so many people. We can get into this, like this cycle of if you miss church, like church is not the end all be all, but like, I do believe we are created for community. I do think we are supposed to go. Church these days aren't really done. I think the way like God ever intended church to be, like, if you look at the book of Acts, like it's very, Yeah. Like, so that's a whole different tangent we're not going to go down, but it's easy to like, be like, well, I don't need church. Like I have a relationship with God and I don't like people. They're hypocritical or like church just doesn't do anything for me. But like it's really important to go. And then my point is if you miss once, it's easier to miss a second time. Yes. If you miss a second time, it's easier to miss a third. And then you haven't been for months and then you're wondering, why am I feeling like this? Well, let's like be logical here.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's the thing too with Drew and I is the past 3 years since we've lived here, we've been in church the whole time.
Yeah.
I think it's just really too finding that community of people that you connect with.
Yep.
And like we had that before. And Haley and I, if you don't know, we went to the same church for years. And it's like we had this strong community and this strong just support system. And then it's like you move and trying to find that again. And then I feel like that something Drew and I do is we always compare.
Yeah.
And like we get stuck in this comparison trap of not like, oh, she looks better than me or she has more than me. But like, man, our old church family like has it all, you know? And then you get in this comparison and it's like you can't ever get out of it. And so we've worked through that, trying to just find our place now and not compare it to where we came from. But man, it's so hard. And I know one thing for me, this is something I'm guilty of, like I'm going to call myself out here, is that I can always tell I'm in a dry season when I open my eyes and I reach for my phone first. And it's like, that is a true indication Noelle's in a dry season.
And how many of us do that?
Like everyone it's literally of us.
Like our phone's the last thing that we touch. And then we put it under our pillow or on whatever and we go to bed. And then as soon as we wake up, we grab our phone. Like that's we all do that.
Yeah. And even scripture says like seek first the kingdom of God. And I really can look back on my like walk in my life and the times I was most on fire, I wasn't reaching for my phone first thing in the morning. You know, I was getting up early. I was making time to pray and read and, you know, spend time in praise and worship. But it's so easy to just fall into that, like that trap of reaching for your phone first. I mean, it'll be 6 a.m. and I'll have most of my work done before I even get out of bed.
Yeah.
Like I got my content posted. I have everything up. Like I haven't even rolled out of bed yet.
Yeah.
And I feel like that I have to do better at that for sure.
Yeah. So, and I also want to just be like Christians everywhere are going to gasp at this, but like, I want to be honest and say that for me, and I feel like if you're listening to this, a lot of you probably have experienced this at some point, or maybe will. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. But sometimes like reading the Bible can be boring.
Yes.
Sometimes it can be really hard to understand. And I'm like, I'm a seasoned Christian. Like I'm seasoned in my faith. I mean, if anyone shouldn't struggle, it would be me.
Yeah.
And it's sometimes I'm just like, oh my gosh, like what does this even mean? Or like, and I read like certain translations and it's still like super hard to grasp at times, or I'm just like bored to death and I just don't have a desire.
Right.
But at the same time, it's like, God, I literally prayed this last night. I was like, God, I want to read your word. I want to be so obsessed with it that I just devour it daily.
Yeah.
Like I want to have that fire. Can you help me?
Yeah.
And I think sometimes step one is like, ask and you shall receive. Like you have not because you ask not. Mm-hmm. Like if you're struggling in that or any area, I'm just using that as an example because I struggle with this. Like ask God to give you that desire. Ask God to give you that revelation. Ask, like, just be honest. And I was like, Lord, I'm so sorry to confess this to you, but you already see my thoughts and know my heart. And I just feel like I need to like verbally say it to you, but like, I struggle reading your word. Like sometimes I'm bored. Sometimes, and I just talk to him like that. Like, he's just a friend. I'm like, it's hard for me. And like, I need your help. I'm so sorry. I feel like this is so insulting to you, but like, you gotta help me.
Yeah. And for me, I know something that's helped me along the way is keeping like a devotion and a book to read in addition to the word. And even the Bible that I bought recently, it's so much easier to read. But then it's like, you got all these Christians who are like, if you're not reading the King James Version, you know, and it's like, it's external pressure that we place on ourselves and that Christians place on people as well. And it's like, I just want people to read his word. I don't care what word, like I don't care what version or whatever. Like, I just want you to fill your mind with his word. But it is hard.
It's hard. I mean, I felt that. Like, I used to be really legalistic with it. Like, oh my gosh, you can't read the Passion Translation or you can't read this or that because like it changes it too much. And like, da da da. And it's just not true. It's that's just like tradition of man. Now, I will say, I think there are some versions that aren't good that really do change the underlying meaning. So I think you have to be careful what you choose.
Right.
So like, if that's what you need, do it. And then my pastor actually gave me this tip like a long time ago, and it just like changed the game for me in the moment. So I think sometimes you have to get creative with it. Like, I am obsessed with psychology, studying true crime and just how the mind works and the brain. Like, I mean, obsessed with it. And I was having trouble reading the Bible. And he's like, why don't you treat it like a case study? Like, look at it as if you're studying the person and that person's like psyche. And so I was like, that's interesting. I've never really thought about it like that. So I took the book of Ruth and I did that. I took notes. I broke down like her family tree, like her personality traits, this and that. Yeah. I could probably recite the book of Ruth to you now. It stuck with me and I was so interested in it. And I devoured that book because I had that mindset. Yeah. That's such a weird way to think about it.
Yeah, that's
but
crazy.
It was like, it worked for me personally. Maybe make a game of it. And I don't mean game, but like find something creative that makes you want to read it. Treat it as a book, treat it as a novel, treat it as a case study. But also like understand that there's reverence and like you're doing it for a reason.
Yeah.
And I was like, Lord, like I'm coming to it and reading it this way, but like, please reveal your knowledge to me, the wisdom to me, like let this make an impact on me. And that's exactly what happened. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's crazy. I've never heard anything like that before, but it does make sense because it does leave you wanting more.
Yeah.
Like I want to know more, more, more. And then you're filling your mind with that word, which is key to overcoming those hard times.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you're broken, if you're feeling anxious or depressed, or you feel that spiritual warfare and you're like, what is happening? Like his word is a weapon.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that we don't pick up enough. I know I'm guilty of that.
Oh, for sure. And I've said this before, if you've listened to past episodes, but it's so dumb that I ever don't read it, because genuinely, truly, there is a marked difference in my emotions, how I respond, how I process. Like I literally behave and feel differently when I'm in the word daily and consistently. Like it just makes an impact. And like, I have the head knowledge of that, but like I said, you get in that dry season. It's like, I still don't want to do it. And I know that it makes a difference. And that's why I said, sometimes you have to be creative. Sometimes you just have to ask God to help you. And I think prayer can be the same way. Like I know so many people who are like terrified to pray out loud, or if they're at church and like someone calls on them to like close in prayer or something, they're like internally, they're internally sweating. And it's because if you've grown up in church, or if you're around church people, sometimes like you feel this pressure to have such an eloquent Harvard Law type of prayer. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, dude, I call like, I'm just like talking to Jesus
too.
Sometimes like I've even like accidentally said like, dude, I'm like, I'm so sorry, Lord. That is like, I do not disrespect you. Like, I'm so sorry for that. And then I have to like get back on track. But it's like, my point is I just talk to him like I would talk to Noel or talk to any friends. And it takes so much pressure out of that. And it allows it to be a conversation.
And I think too, for me is like prayer, I feel like I have to find pockets. So like I'm like, okay, my prayer time is when I'm riding back home from dropping the kids off at school, or, you know, like get in that habit and of that routine of prayer. And it's funny, like even talking about the Bible and reading the Bible, I was praying those same prayers of like, Lord, help me. And I had that idea, like I'm going to do a devotion every day on my social media. Like sometimes we need accountability too.
Yes.
And like we've had accountability groups in our church where we read together and pray and all of that. And I feel like finding a group of people to do life with is so important when it comes to like prayer and reading and all of that too.
That's such good advice. So good. And it's hard. Sometimes it's hard to find those people because like you don't want to be accountable.
Yeah.
It's like a double-edged sword. It's like, I need that, but like, I don't want that because then I have to do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think it's in those moments, if you feel that, you just have to like push through it and do it anyway. And like time block, like take 5 minutes to read your Bible when you wake up instead of scrolling social media. Then scroll social media. You're gonna have to do things you don't want to do. It's gonna feel like a chore sometimes, but like if you can push through that, do the chore of it, it really does eventually become a desire, and like it does pull you out. But like sometimes you have to just push through that. Ugh, I don't want to do this. I've had that happen so many times.
Yeah. And when we're in that dry season, like when you think of a dry season, I think of like no power, right? When you think dry, you think like defeated, you think down, you think just no energy, no anything like that. And it truly is as simple as just plugging in.
Yeah.
And when you think of like an outlet, when you have a plug, like a charger, AKA Haley just plugged her computer up yeah. and didn't plug it all the way in. And we're like, why is this not working? The same thing for us. Like we have got to plug in order to get that power.
Constantly go back to God's promises. Like during a drought, it's so easy to like forget what he promises us. But like, even when our circumstances seem bleak, like we can trust that he is working all things together for our good. Mm-hmm. Like he hasn't left us. He is 100% hearing us and like waiting for us to come back to him. Sometimes we're just stubborn. Yeah. Sometimes it just comes down to us. Like we're being stubborn. We're just like not doing what we need to do. But like, his promises aren't empty and like he's always going to be there when we have to just come to him.
And I wanted to mention this because I feel like when we're in that pit or when we're in the darkness or we're in those seasons, we feel like that it's never going to end. Mm-hmm. And I've actually felt that myself 3 years now. I'm like, are we ever going to find a church? Are we ever mm-hmm. going to find our people again? Like I have felt that. And so I want to remind you that one thing is always the same, and it is that it ends and that Jesus does remain. And I wanted to bring this up because I feel like it relates so well with what we're talking about. But think of Jesus's final days and all that he went mm-hmm. through in his final days. You know, he died. He went to the cross first for us and then he died. But in that moment before death, he felt disconnected.
Yeah.
Right? He felt no joy. He felt no peace. He felt no life. He was literally crying out. And I feel like that we get in that season where we feel that way.
Yeah.
Disconnected, no joy, no peace, no life. But he was a man who had been through our misery and torment, and then he died. And maybe you can relate to those same feelings, but one thing is for certain through all of that, and it's that it gets better. Mm-hmm. And we know that because of his resurrection.
Yeah.
And I feel like that in those moments, we have to think back to that.
Yeah, that's really good. Another thing I think that sometimes we're not honest with ourselves about is what we have to ask ourselves, like, what do we need to let go of mm-hmm. that's putting that block there? And that's like keeping us from the Lord. And like, I have had that before where I'm like, it's either like living in sin or like having sinful actions, or I'm just like not around good influences.
Yes, same.
It depletes you. It separates you from God. In the moment, you don't care or you don't realize it. I mean, really, I think it comes down to those 2 days. You either don't realize it or you just simply don't care because like you're in a season of pleasure of doing all these other things. And it's just like you're holding on to that fleshly pleasure. But man, it separates you. Like I worked with a group of people all last year and like I was not spiritually where I needed to be because I was constantly around like people who didn't have the same morals as me, like were drinking and doing drugs. Like it was just not a good environment. Like I wasn't like really partaking in any of it, but I was around it and it was like affecting me. And it really affected me. And then I was like getting whispers of God, like you need to end this business relationship. It's like not good for you, but like the money was good.
Yeah.
So I kept doing it. And eventually I was like, I got to a point where I was like, God is more important to me. My spiritual health is more important to me. My life is more important to me. Then I have to let this go. And it was like this blinder was completely lifted from me. Yeah. I had this 2020 vision and I was like, holy cow. Yeah. Like how far was I from you, Lord? Like how blinded was I? Like it was just the biggest revelation. And it's like, I don't ever want to experience that again. Like same. I don't want to be away from you. So sometimes my point in saying all of that is like, we have to really assess ourselves and be like, what is standing? What am I allowing to come between me and you, Lord? When you get that out, when you ask yourself that question, when you get an answer, when you're honest with yourself and then you remove that, bro.
Yeah.
Bro.
Yeah. Sometimes you got to give up to go up.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's so true. I was in that same season a year and a half ago where I was white knuckling a business I was a part of and I was doing the same. Like it was almost forcing me to just be someone that I wasn't.
Yes.
It was forcing me.
Yes.
Like I would go to bed at night and be like, man, like you have got to send something my way. Like I have got to break free from this. And I gave up my whole income just because I needed to be free from the lies and the manipulation and the deceit because who you are around. We have said this a million times, the power of your circle. But I think we're so passionate about that because we have been around circles that have drug us down and they have depleted us. And they've honestly made us people that we've tried so hard to heal from, you know? And I think that that's why Haley and I are so passionate about who you surround yourself with.
It's just so freaking true. It just is. Like, I will back you up on that all day long, because it can either suck you, bleed you dry, or it can fill you up. And I can tell you, those people that you think you might be helping, like, they're gonna suck and bleed you dry. Like, you know, the whole saying, like, bad apple spoils the bunch. Like, you don't just like put a bunch of good apples around that rotten one and it just magically get better. It's just so true.
Yeah. So here we want to give you three ways that you can overcome a dry season. So number one, we went into detail on this, is stay connected to the vine. John 15, read that over and over and over. That is a chapter that I go back to so many times when I'm having a hard time. If I'm in a dry season, it's John 15 every single time. Number two is stay close to the flame. And what we mean by that is stay close to people who bring you closer to God. Stay close to the flame. Read your Bible. Pray. Praise and worship. All of that.
Stay connected to a community of church. Like, find one that you drive with better than others.
And last, I feel like this is a biggie. It's learn to seek the oil in the secret place rather than chasing a feeling.
Oof.
Yep.
That could be a whole nother tangent. But
that is a good roundhouse punch, because I feel like so many times we do chase a feeling. And I've been guilty of this before. Like, we'll go to this church or this church or this church or this church, but the oil is created in that secret place.
Yeah.
Whether that's your home. For me, it's my home. It's your vehicle. It is. It's not a feeling. It's not a place. Like, it's literally your intimate time with God.
Yeah. Yeah. I think churches can be bad for this. You have to be on this huge emotional high for it to be considered a good service. Or like, even if you're reading and praying like privately, you think you have to have this big emotional breakdown or something that has to be this huge emotional thing for you to feel like you made progress or had a moment with the Lord. And like, sometimes, I mean, like, read his scripture. There's so many times where it was a whisper, or where it was a silent moment, or where it was like this peaceful, calm atmosphere. And sometimes, like I said earlier, you'll read, you'll pray, you'll praise and worship, and you won't feel a dang thing. Like, that will happen. That does happen. And that'll probably continue to happen at times, but it doesn't mean that you stop doing it, and you're still laying a foundation. It's still like building you up for, and you will have emotional moments too. Like, it's both.
Yeah. It's all growth. It's all a part of the process. So we want to invite you to revive your spirit by meditating on this scripture. It's actually a chapter. We want you to get into your Bible and read the word today. It's Ezekiel 37, 1 through 14. It's the Valley of Dry Bones.
You guys didn't think we were going to end this on homework, but step one to getting out of your dry season is opening the sword. We'll see you next time.
If you enjoyed this episode, make sure to rate the show, follow us on Instagram, leave a review on Apple, and check out our website, reviveherpodcast.com.
Wayfair's big sale is here. It's Way Day, and it's on now. For 4 days only, score up to 80% off all things home with free shipping on everything. Now through October 29th, score Wayfair's best deals, like up to 80% off area rugs, up to 60% off mattresses, up to 60% off bedroom furniture, and more exclusive doorbuster deals. So build your cart and shop Way Day starting October 26th at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Ever wondered if that UFO sighting was a secret government project?
Not because they didn't go to the moon, but because they seen something on the moon they weren't supposed to.
Or if ancient civilizations really had alien architects.
Like, so Roswell, obviously they think they recovered crafts and beings.
On Theorist Theorizing, wild speculation meets seasoned storytelling.
How they dug 2 kilometers below these pyramids and created all the structures that we're now finding.
Join the theorists as they dive into UFOs, cryptids, government cover-ups, true crime, and the weirdest theories the internet and humanity has to offer.
Giza and the pyramids itself being an energy source, you know?
It's not a lecture. It's a round table of curiosity, comedy, and what if.
Maybe they got tipped off by these U-boats that fled to Argentina, that there was something there.
Theorist Theorizing. Subscribe now wherever you get your podcasts.